Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Boeing announces a new factory in Australia, the first outside the US. Live from London, this is Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rahul Tandon, in for Victoria Craig. Good morning to you. American aerospace giant Boeing has announced that Australia is where it's going to be building its first manufacturing plant outside the US. The new factory in Queensland will produce unmanned military drones and is expected to create 3,500 jobs by 2028. So why down under? A question for Andrew Green, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation's defence correspondent.
This has been an extraordinary project for several years. It was cloaked in secrecy. We knew nothing about it until 2019. This new Loyal Wingman aircraft, something like the first military aircraft designed in Australia for 50 years, but it's an unmanned platform and something that defence forces around the world are certainly going to be doing a lot more of.
A lot of people will look at the recent submarine deal between Australia, the US and the UK and link this to that. Would that be fair?
This certainly had its genesis well before the Australia-UK-United States trilateral partnership was even thought of. This is a happy coincidence, I suppose, and perhaps part of a broader trend of more Australian cooperation with the UK post-Brexit. We've certainly seen Australia strike a $45 billion project to build new frigates with the British company BAE, and there are other deals going on between both nations.
We're seeing huge amounts of money being spent by the Australians on defence. Why now?
There is somewhat of an arms race in the Indo-Pacific and in Southeast Asia where Australia sits. And one word, it's China. The rapid rise of China in recent years poses what the government believes is a threat to peace and stability. So China's rise has framed every major decision for the best part of a decade. China is what is driving the spending in Australia. The figure used to be $200 billion over a decade, but we know that the submarine decision alone to scrap conventionally powered submarines being built with France was a $90 billion project. Well, we know that the nuclear version is going to be a lot more.
Andrew Green, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to talk to you, Rahul.
Checking on the market, shares in the Chinese property giant Evergrande have rallied in Hong Kong after it struck an agreement to repay some bondholders. They were up 20%, but have lost 4/5 of their value this year. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong closed up almost 1.2%, and the Shanghai Composite was up almost 0.4%. The Nikkei in Tokyo closed down by almost 0.7%. Meanwhile, European benchmarks are up in early trading between 0.4 and 1%. Yesterday, we brought you the story that China has pledged to stop building coal-fired power stations abroad. But what are other big polluters doing? India is the second in the world for coal consumption, but it has set ambitious renewable energy targets. So, is it ready to wean itself off coal? The BBC's Rajini Vaidyanathan has gone to eastern India to find out.
Early morning here in this part of Orissa, which is in India's coal belt. And we're just standing by the railway tracks here, close to the entrance to the mine.
Women in dazzling pink saris collect lumps of coal with their bare hands before carrying it in baskets on their heads with expert precision. Supplies from here and the wider region help power this vast nation. More than two-thirds of the country's energy production depends on it. Such is the demand that India's planning on opening or expanding dozens of coal mines in the coming years and continues to import it.
Coal is the primary source of energy.
At the edge of an open cast mine, overlooking a valley, is where I meet union leader Sudarshan Mohanty.
India cannot live without coal. If we stop the coal production, then how can we maintain our livelihood?
The average Indian still consumes far less energy than the average Brit or American. But with a population of more than 1.3 billion, it's no surprise that the country's energy needs are predicted to grow more than any other nation's in the next two decades. Experts like Arunabha Ghosh from the Council on Energy, Environment and Water say the country needs more investment to make that switch to renewables.
The more rapidly we can get more investment, more capital, more money into solar, wind, bioenergy and so forth, the quicker we can keep shifting away from the older energy infrastructure.
Back in the coal community in Orissa, we're reminded of the challenges when it comes to reducing coal dependency. Squatting by a smoky outdoor stove is Jamuna Munda. She lives in a makeshift slum on the edge of a mine and is using coal she's taken from there to heat up her chicken broth. Jamuna's one of tens of millions of Indians who still don't have access to electricity.
There's no electricity, there's no water. If we don't have coal, we can't cook. If it's harmful, what can we do about it?
The needs of Jamuna and others reflect the challenge India faces. An energy-hungry nation, which is growing and developing, even with a shift to alternative sources, cutting the cord with coal will likely take time.
Rajini Vaidyanathan reporting from Eastern India. In London, I'm Rahul Tandon with the Marketplace Morning Report here from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.